Du hörst einen Podcast von Rabe.
Steven, hi!
There you are. Great to see you again. I'm very grateful that you found the time again.
Cheers.
You told me before, but just for our listeners, can you tell me again what the story is of Wheelchair Sports Camp?
Yeah, there is a real wheelchair sports camp here in Colorado. It's really long going. I think it's over 30 years. It's got to be pushing 40 years. And I attended it as a kid, and I was like bad. I didn't really want to follow my group, I would bring my able-bodied shithead friends, and they would quote unquote volunteer, but really we were just there to run the show and go do our own thing and corrupt the camp, if you will. And so it wasn't until around the time I was driving, I would volunteer at the camp, and then I couldn't get in trouble because I did what I want. But it's cool. It's because I have a Google alert for wheelchair sports camp, I see all this other stuff about other wheelchair sports camps in the world. And from what I could tell, our wheelchair sports camp is the only week-long free camp, and it's so cool. They bus in kids from all across the city. There's lunch every day. It's not like a stay the night camp, but it's an amazing camp. There's so many kids in wheelchairs, and then everybody gets a shirt and everybody gets a trophy, and there's awards. And yeah, it was one of those things that I thought I was too cool for, but I kept going every year, and it really meant a lot to me. Even though when I was there, I was let's go run off and smoke weed or whatever it was. I guess I wasn't smoking weed as a kid, but yeah, we were running amok there. And actually, I could say this now. It's really cool. I've always had this dream to make a wheelchair band camp. And I just got a grant. And so I'm going to pilot a day-long wheelchair band camp. And my dream's always been to combine wheelchair sports camp. And then we have a girls rock camp here in Denver that I've also volunteered at a lot, and that a lot of my friends come from. It's where me and his wife became real close, and another just really iconic camp of kids and all volunteer based. So I got this grant, and it's gonna happen. Wheelchair band camp. It's gonna happen.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to the results. How did you realize that you could sing, that you wanted to be a singer?
I'm actually not really a good singer. That's one thing that I would like to get better at. But I've been rapping since I was 5. I think I've always been drawn to rhythm and polyrhythm specifically. And I think that's why when I heard rap for the first time on the radio, it just caught me by surprise, and I just became obsessed with it. I was it was 92, and I remember coming across the rap radio station on my Walkman, and I was Dad, turn this radio station on. And he did, and he was turn this shit off. And that moment, I was oh, this is mine. I'm sure that made me want it even more. And my parents, and my dad especially, he's more soft rock guy, deadhead guy, a lot twangy. And so there was something about me just having my own thing and being an only child and being real disabled and spending a lot of time in and out of the hospital. It was it just felt mine, and my best friend and my identity. And I got my hands on the TLC record, who on the TLC tip in 92, and That changed everything. The like tomboy, sexy women, empowered women, like they were also making a statement about safe sex, even though I didn't know much about sex, let alone safe sex. I knew every word. Like I was reciting all this stuff about condoms. I was like, wanted to wear condoms, like left eye did, you know, I was just like into it. And then I got Salt and Pepper, very necessary in 93, and Missy Elliott, you know, a couple years later. And yeah, it just stuck. Like I've always been at it. And I didn't start writing my own raps though until like sixth grade, 12 years old. I entered a talent show and I wrote a rap about our football team. The Broncos won the Super Bowl that year, so I wrote a rap about it. I beatboxed into a tape for like 3 minutes and rapped over it at the talent show.
Wow. Last week we spoke about the last album. It's 10 years ago, but you've been busy in the meantime, haven't you? You said you've done a musical and some art installations.
Yeah, well, I rolled for mayor in 2018. The election was 2019. So that was the whole year, and I was like really hesitant to do it because I wanted to finish an album. But this guy was like, "You gotta do it, you know, don't worry, like we'll finish the album." That didn't happen. But I did roll for mayor and we got a lot of votes, and it was really like quite an art project for real. And then 2021, wrote a musical for an original production of Alice in Wonderland, and that was like that really stretched us. Like we collaborated with more people than ever, and COVID lockdown had just happened, so the show got the live performance got postponed, and it kind of allowed all of us to remotely work on it. Like Greg kind of started us all off with like drum beds, and then I kind of like was putting it all together. We had drums, we had horns, we had slide like steel pedal guitar, we had voices. Like it's a big production.
That kind of, I think, too, like led into like this project a little bit because we became comfortable making our own beats in a way that we kind of weren't before. Because before we'd have a lot of different producers making beats, but that one was kind of us working on them.
All us,
Yeah. So that was kind of a cool, it helped us kind of, I think, get to the place we're at now where we're making our own. Our music is like mostly just me and Kaylin now. As opposed to someone presenting a beat and then us kind of reworking it, which has been kind of fun.
Some of that, this new album has a little bit of both, but we kind of ended
Yeah.
by just like, yeah, taking what we learned. And then also that whole time we had been concepting a permanent installation for Meow Wolf, which is a psychedelic museum in immersive experience. And it was like 2021 too that we were like, right?
Yeah, I was in COVID. But I mean, it took us a long time because that was a weird.
That
We
was
had,
like a 4-year
it was really
project.
hard because we don't do construction. Like, thank God Kalen's dad is an iron worker, so he was very helpful. But like, we had to build like this room and do it to like all the codes and specs because it's a museum so that people don't get hurt and all this stuff and
Everything
fire
had to be
code.
fire rated class A.
So it was like being in college, like learning like how to, we had to like learn how to do all this stuff, and then doing it was like very time consuming and very we had to learn a lot.
It's really cool. It's a wheelchair space kitchen, and the idea was to kind of create a room that fit me, and he'd have to crouch. It's like for me, not him. But then they were like, "We can't do that because it's not accessible." And I'm like, "That's the fucking point,
What
you
does it
know?"
look like, this
So instead,
installation?
we asked for 5.5 feet ceilings.
Okay.
Basically, like it would be great, you know, it would be like a regular size room for me, and then he would have to crouch
Right,
in it,
yeah.
you would have to crouch in it. They gave us 15 feet ceilings. It was like three times that. Everything up high is like completely out of everyone's reach. Like your reach, the tallest person, it's like too high. It's like my kitchen where like all the top cupboards are empty. And then the bottom half is like perfect for me. It's like roll under.
Lower, everything's like perfect, like so low. So it feels like weird. You're like crouching to do things.
Talking yesterday, how like that also really got us to this album too, because that was the first project that Greg and I led as like partners outside of music. You know, like obviously music was supposed to be like part of everything. We were like, we want the kitchen sink to be like a phaser, and the stove is gonna be a turntable and all this stuff. And they were like, okay, you could do like one of those things, you know? So like we didn't record the music for the rooms till the very end, but it just like really grew us in this like responsibility. I mean, we managed a team of, you know, a handful of people. Like we were doing big time budgets. Like it was a 4-year project. You know, we had to like get everything dialed in just to the T, to get everything city coded and city approved. And yeah, if it wasn't for my dad, I don't know
Yeah.
how the fuck we would have done it, but that was like a big step in our journey of like taking a project and managing it.
Was this your first art project, or how did you get a commission to do something this big?
We had done different art projects separately. Like we kind of always, like I had done a lot of like performance art, and I set up some art installations before. And then we kind of like I had a DIY venue in Denver where called Unit E, and then Santa Fe, where Meow Wolf started, is not far. It's like 6-hour drive from Denver. There was a collective that was Meow Wolf, and they were doing a DIY venue, like having bands come to town and throwing really cool parties. And then we said we just were friends with them.
They were inspired by like our DIY scene and the cool stuff that was happening here.
So
So we all,
yeah.
yeah, we kind of had like a connection already, but then we played that first Meow Wolf, like their original
Like
location.
they
And
yeah, they took that con like that symbiotic relationship of art and venues that was going on, and they like got funding and built like a really cool thing. It was kind of like all of us were like, oh shit, they did it, you know? And then once they did that, we were friends with them, so we were kind of like in on it, and we knew them, and then like so we just kind of, you know, we were like keeping, we knew that was something we wanted to do. So we were right in there.
yeah, and I was poking at him because when we did go, I was like pretty surprised that it wasn't very accessible. And they weren't DIY anymore, you know, because like his our venue wasn't accessible, and like it made sense because we don't have money to make it accessible. But this felt like, hey, dude, let me help you guys make this more accessible, you know? And they were like, oh, we know we messed up, but the next one, the next one, the next one. And then sure enough, like that next one was Denver, and there was like a invite only meeting when they were like exploring the potential of coming to Denver. And I was like, so what about access? And they were like, we know we messed up, but we want this one to be so accessible, and we even want a room for wheelchair only, and we just haven't figured it out. And I was like, raised my hand again, and was like, well, do you have anybody in wheelchairs designing the shit? You know? So like I feel like we got it then, but it was like a 4-year process of us like really having to hone in our grand ideas to something that would work, you know, and we learned so much. World, that was such a big project.
So, is your main focus art, or is it your main focus music?
You know, I think like music is our core. Music is why we make art. Like, yeah, music's first for sure. And we just been like lucky enough to kind of fall into all these other lanes that have only benefited our music, and it's all incorporated our music, you know. And Greg was so smart of like making sure we tagged Wheelchair Sports Camp in the room, so like it's still music. And we were talking yesterday about how like we're really grateful for all these projects. We took over the Denver Art Museum, which is a big museum here.
I've been there once.
You
Really?
have?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that was in 1992.
Yeah, now it's a whole different thing. It's way bigger.
Yeah. I'm so grateful we did all these things because I don't feel like burnt out as a musician. You know what I mean? But I think we both feel like, well, okay, like right now is the time that we're just gonna like lean into the music piece right now. And I mean, well, we still gotta run a wheelchair band camp
Yeah.
now, but like we're a man of many hats, you know. We're always involved in a lot of different cool stuff that always like helps the music when we do come back to the music. It's like always like better, and we've learned so much and we've grown so much, and you know, we have so many different perspectives after being in these different worlds that it's really helped us.
So how come you call your album O Imperfecta? It's
Imperfect.
perfect.
Yeah, I think I was exploring my relationship to perfectionism a lot, in therapy, and just like the band and just my whole life, you know. And Greg's always been really good at like letting things go and like making things simpler. And my process is like harder, not smarter. And it's made us like rub up against each other a lot and butt heads. And now we're like in this place where he's like big stroke, big ideas, like, and I'm like the detail, you know. Even on that Meow Wolf project, like he was like doing the big construction, like the big stuff, and then like I came in like the last few weeks and was like, you know, making magnets and like doing all these little details. I think, yeah, it really is like a reflection of us. Like I'm the perfectionist, he's the like let's go, you know, like move on, let it out, and then move on. And then I realized, oh well, my disability, my disease is called osteogenesis imperfecta, and really recognizing how much like my body is talked about in really like dehumanizing ways. And I'm like, oh, I'm genetically imperfect, you know. It's no wonder I'm overcompensating with perfectionism. And I also like I blame rap music a lot for my perfectionism, because you can't be a good rapper unless you think you're the best rapper. You can't spit a 16 unless it's most fire 16 bars you've ever written, you know. And like me being a tiny queer white very disabled other in the hip hop world, it's like I've always felt like a lot of pressure to like be the best and to flex with my fashion, my humor, my bars, my videos, my this. And I'm like, it's cool and I'm really proud of a lot of our stuff, but you know, we're both getting older and realizing like, oh shit, some of this stuff has like taken us a really long time. And like here we do Eat Meat, which like took us 2 hours, and everybody's like, it's brilliant, this is like smartest shit ever. And I'm like, well, you know, some of those songs we spent like 8 years on, and you know, they may not be the favorite. So it's like
It's one of my favorites on the album.
That's
Eat
awesome.
Meat. Yeah. But my favorite is still, yes, I'm a mess, but Eat Meat is a close second.
Nice.
Well, yes, I'm a mess. Took a long time.
Yeah, that's a long one.
I mean, actually, it wrote itself like really fast. I don't usually like start and finish a song, but the production of it and the video, that took a long time. And I always am like, we can't release it until we have the whole package, you know? And yeah, so it's just like the album's about my imperfecta, our imperfecta, and like embracing the imperfections and like kind of unlearning the ideas of perfectionism. Like it's imaginary, you know, that nothing's perfect and we're all our hardest critic, but you know, ultimately, it's like it's really oppressive to try to reach for perfection. You know, like the idea of perfection, I think, is very ableist. It's very white supremacist. It's very all the fucked up things. You know, it's not.
Basically, perfection is quite boring.
True. Yeah.
It doesn't allow you access. It is a thing in itself. I'm a trained product designer, and I wrote my thesis on the art of the Native Americans around Santa Fe. I just happened to walk into the Indian market there, and I just thought the artwork there was amazing, and I started researching a bit. It's years and years ago. I've forgotten most of it, but I remember that perfection is absolutely not the goal there, and they introduce an element of imperfection so the spirit of the object can escape.
Nice.
Yeah, and I feel like Greg's been on that shit for a long time, you
Yeah.
know.
Well, I mean, and like, you know, for me, I grew up in more in like the punk rock world. So like punk rock's like you're like, I suck. You know, like that's like the bands like go up and stage like, fuck it, I suck. And so it's like this kind of like clash of ideas with Kaylin and I think makes a good like balance point. And I think I remember you actually saying one time that you were talking to like your therapist or something, and there was like the way you and I move through the world, like it's like we don't have to think about anything because everything's built for us. But like Kaylin has to worry about like, oh, is that person gonna swing around and their bag gonna hit me in the head and hurt me, or is this elevator gonna break and I'm gonna be stuck? So like all the things her that she has to think about all the time that we don't have to think about, like no wonder she's like looking at things at such like a deep level. I think one of the beauties of like our relationship is that we both respect each other and we're both honest with each other, so we can have these deeper conversations about this and find a balance point for the both of us, you know, in a world that we both live in.
And me not like growing up in the punk world or, you know, listening to punk music much at all. Like, once we got signed to Alternative Tentacles and Greg was like, oh, finally we could do punk now, you know? And it has been the most freeing thing because, again, like, my rapper brain is like, no, it's gotta be the hottest bars ever. And Eat Me is like the epitome of the album because here we're just like having fun and like fucking around in the garage. And I'm playing drums, which I hadn't played since middle school. Greggy's playing a dusty guitar, which he doesn't play and hasn't because it's so dusty. And we had so much fun. It happened so fast, and I'm not able to be all wordy, mystical, digital, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to do, but because I'm playing drums, I have to be like, you know, it's like way more direct, way more punchy, way less words. And it was like, okay, that's good enough. Like, everything was like, you know, and that was kind of like our shtick of like, oh, if all these dudes can play shitty guitar, why can't I play shitty guitar? You know?
Yeah, of course. Have you ever heard of the Swiss record label Voodoo Rhythm?
No.
So the main band on Voodoo Rhythm is called The Monsters, and the singer of The Monsters he calls himself Reverend Beatman.
Okay. Sick. I like that.
And every record they make, they try to be more primitive than the previous one.
Oh.
So I think they're down to less than 100 words for an album now.
Wow.
That's a cool idea. Yeah, it's like almost like kind of in a weird way what we've done accidentally. Like we're just like, and I think that's what makes honestly some of these songs so cool is like it's like Kaylin has all these cool lines in her songs all these years, and now she can just kind of pick the most potent, cool line and just repeat it a bunch. And then it's speaking to people a little easier, which is exciting.
Yeah, I really like it when an idea is just boiled down to the bare bones, and that makes it really powerful.
Yeah, I got connected with a really big record label exec, Riggs Morales, who was A&R of Shady Records, and of course I grew up an Eminem fan in middle school, and I remember like he saw us play live at South by Southwest, and I've stayed friends with him. He's at Atlantic, now he's at Def Jam, but he was able to like tell me to dumb it down in a way that made sense, and he's like, "You're just hitting people with like over the head, and you have to give people like space to feel it, you know?" Like, and that's the like rapper in me is like I'm filling every bar with as many words as possible, and the wordplay and the nursery rhymes, and you know what I mean? Like, and now that we're like getting older, I'm like, when I'm rapping some of our old stuff, I'm like, shut the fuck up, Kaylin. Like, you know, like, can you just take a breath, you know? And like, my breath control is like dope, but now I'm retraining my body to project, you know? I'm not used to like shouting in this new way. So,
The next thing you'd be growling.
yeah, like, you know, 30 minutes, I'm tired, you know, and I could like spit 90 bars and like make it. So, yeah, it's been really freeing for me because like make it make sense, you know. I have so many political things to say that I didn't include, you know, and it was like, oh, it's good enough, you know, like it's punk. Like all these songs can be quick and easy, and I don't need 24 bars. Like I'm the queen of like extending my 16, and like how long can she go? And now I'm like, fuck it. I'm punk now. It feels very potent though now, and I think like it's funny watching people in like the comments debate things, and I'm like, oh, it's so funny because it's like almost like the sarcasm and the repetitiveness of it is allowing people to have opinions and they're debating concepts, and it's just funny to watch, and I think it's good. I mean, I feel like that's always art that I've enjoyed, is like art that it's like you can't, it's like, what are they talking about? Like, is it this or is it the other side? And then you have to kind of dig in and debate about it, and that's.
And I think rap, it's like pretty hard to be like super metaphorical because there's so many words. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going in on a concept, like, I get lost in, you know, the reality of it. And the art that I love is very simple. It's very, you know, metaphorical, and it allows me to kind of make my own picture of it, my own dream of it. And that's hard to do when you've got 5,000 words.
I know. I like to be challenged a bit because if I get challenged, I can grow. If I'm not challenged, it's just background noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, some of math really did that. Like when I wrote that, I was like, whoa, like this is different for me, you know? And I think I gave a lot of space
Yeah.
in my vocals in a way that I had it. And part of that was the beat, you know, and it's a real weird rhythm. And so I was able to like kind of lay out in ways, and it felt really like effective.
Kaylin, how did your mum react to the interludes?
You know, she didn't kill me. We had her over that night, and she threw something at me. The first interlude, which was like the most friendly interlude. But overall, I don't know. She's kind of softening. And then we did a listening party at our local record store, and everybody laughed so hard during her parts when we played the record from front to back. And she just kind of sat in the corner, like she rolled her eyes, but she also knows she's funny.
Is she also a musician?
Oh no. But she is really artsy. She is like the artsy half of my genetics for sure. Her mom was a musician, but yeah, she's more crafty. She did set design, she did interior design. She's always coming through for like last minute projects. She did a lot of like, she made my costumes, like Halloween costumes growing up. So she's very artsy. Sadly, my voicemails are full because she leaves voicemails so often that it fills up. But this morning I woke up with a text that's like, "Your voicemail's full," and like, "I need a coloring book with crayons. Where is it?" Like, she's like mad at me because I didn't coloring book. So I deleted some messages. So hopefully she leaves that recording and I can capture it for another album.
Yeah. So you're already working on the next album.
We're brewing on it. We haven't had the time to like start putting our ideas into a microphone, but we have a lot of ideas and we're ready. Like that's next step. As soon as we get through the show and yeah, get the album out, like that's the plan.
Did you have your record release party yet?
We had a listening party. We listened to it at our record store. So it was like pre-release, and the album drops worldwide on Friday. And then Saturday after is our album release show.
Very cool. Yeah, you were saying that Jello Biafra might be coming.
He's coming. He's got his flights.
Oh, excellent.
He's already demanding the type of wheelchair he
Did
wants.
you get him one?
No.
Oh, shit. You got some work to do.
I think he found one.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Good.
He's like, I want one of those nice one that the paras use. Like
Like in the Olympics.
I don't want one clunky hospital ones.
I was in Holland in January on this one beach. They had special wheelchairs and they had these huge balloon tires so you could push someone around in the sand.
I've seen them, but I've never used one.
We got to do that.
They have electric ones too.
All right.
If I pushed you out in the ocean, would you just start floating away with your little balloon tire?
I would start drowning away.
I'll tie a little rope to it so you could pull you back.
My parents would always try to get me in the ocean.
All right.
Guys, give it up.
I guess there's not much ocean around in Denver, is there?
Oh, there's zero ocean around.
Not even close. You have to drive like 17 hours to get to ocean.
Oh, wow.
But we have the mountains, which, in my not so humble opinion, I prefer.
Me too.
We got to see. I got to get to your town and show Kaylin your mountains.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks like our mountains on steroids, and our mountains are dope.
That's where I'm going tomorrow. We've got like a bank holiday on Thursday, and I'm going camping in the mountains. Last week, you said that Peaches got in touch with
Oh,
you.
we got more information on
I
that.
got new news for you.
I think she is amazing.
She is. And I posted it and was like, holy shit, it's not every Monday that you wake up from like a follow and a message from Peaches. And then this guy wrote me and said, oh yeah, I put her on to you guys last night. I'm going to be in Denver that Friday. It was last Friday after our record party. And so we go to this show. He's like, it's kind of like industrial, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. I was like tired. I'm like, okay, we gotta go because he knows Peaches, you know? And then we start reading about this guy and he's like a fucking legend. He's like the bassist from Nine Inch Nails in their heyday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like there's like people that were like super fans, but we were like hanging out with them and they had like stacks of every CD he played on. It was like, I was like, damn, you played on like every CD I listened to as a kid. Like, yeah,
And
it was
like
crazy.
we came and he saw us and he's like, oh my God, you're here. He like fangirled on us and we're like, what is happening? And he's like, I've been sending your music to everybody.
He was
Like
like, Tommy Lee loves it.
he's like, Tommy Lee loves it, and Deadmau5 and Skrillex and like wheat and peaches and like weird shit. So, and he's like, meet my friends. My friends are
He
here.
was so nice. It was like unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's our new friend.
Wow.
Danny Loner is his name.
Yeah, we're gonna try to keep that friendship alive and maybe go to LA and fucking record with them or hang with them or whatever. However,
Whatever.
we can, you know.
He's really fun to be around and like really gets what we're doing. And it was like just, it was very like validating because like he was like asking us about everything and very excited. And very, I was like, whoa, like
And he was
this is
like,
tripping me up.
Greg, your beats, like da da da. And Greg's like tripping out. He's like, this is what I was going for, you know?
I have a 4-year-old and like I just been showing him a lot of music and seeing what he likes, right? And then just going down the path with him, like letting him lead. And he loves like heavy music. So like he fell in love with Nirvana and then he found System of a Down and then he found Korn. And it's like it's bringing me back to stuff I used to listen to when I was really little. And so when I was making these beats, I was like listening to all that stuff with my son. So I was like kind of enjoying thinking about like what I liked when I was little. And then now the guy who is in all those projects that I liked when I was little heard it and understood it. It was just like, I was like, this is the most validating
It
moment
was
I could
so cool.
imagine.
We're still a little on cloud nine about it, and he's like, this is the best band ever. And it's
Yes,
because of Eat Me.
because they eat meat.
that's amazing. What would it take for you to play in Switzerland?
Not much.
Just a plane ticket.
Yeah, we're trying to actually we just got another band I played in the booking agent, the European booking agent is talking about booking us a tour in next spring, like February, March 27. I mean, I think it's probably pretty likely because he booked us that show at Cafe Cairo in Bern. So maybe, I mean, I'll definitely put in we'll definitely put in a good word.
Okay.
Tell him we got people down there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll prepare the grounds here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love to come. Like we're ready to go everywhere. And honestly, like I just by talking to so many people in Europe and UK and now Switzerland, and I have this feeling that like you all appreciate it a little more than us fucking Americans. So we gotta get out there. It'll be good for us.
Yeah. You're the good Americans. Let the world know that they exist.
Here we are.
Here we are.
It says Denver upside down on your cap and the right way around on your t-shirt. And I keep wondering if I'm looking at a mirror image or what.
That
That
this
is
is
tricky.
all backwards, upside down, so it doesn't make any sense. But it is Denver, and then this is a cool like Palestinian shirt that says resistance until reclamation. And then the bottom is generation after generation until the free Palestine over here.
So, are you still like in the activism scene?
Yeah. But actually my lover is like even more active in the Palestinian fight right now. She's Jewish, and here in Denver, there's a lot fewer anti-Zionist Jews than where she comes from, the Bay Area. So she's really like taking the charge on showing up for Jews for Palestine, Jewish Voices for Peace, which is a big organization in out here. So it's funny because like I'm older, and I've been free Palestine for 15, 20 years now. So I'm here. I'm not going nowhere. But she's like, yeah, she's really taking the charge.
I think currently I would not be able to visit America because I've said a few things on social media that will probably get me stopped from entering
Right.
the
We like to hear that.
Yeah.
But for you, we like to hear that you're not that we like to hear that that happens, but fuck.
It's risky
Yeah.
business, but I don't know. I think sadly they're looking for more black and brown type people. Like, I mean, yeah, it's risky business for anyone out here right now.
Yeah, it sucks.
A lot of people that are out and proud are still making it happen.
It seems like the white supremacist leadership is losing ground, and this is their last. attempt.
Well, it seems like this is the last hurrah of the patriarchy. At least I hope it is.
Yeah.
We're all in. This is all we have.
They're like, fuck it. Yeah, they're like, put in all your chips because you don't have that many left.
Thinking a lot about how I wish that this fucking idiot had got 8 years in a row. Like, I never thought I would say that I wish he got reelected. But they were burning out so bad towards the end of that first term. Like, Rudy Giuliani's like face was melting, and like they were just like burning out. And something about that, like 4 years off to kind of like regroup, like
Us.
made it really worse than it already was.
It seems like there are different factions and the Republican Party is kind of exploding at the moment.
Yeah, they're fucking up. They fucked up. It's so expensive here now. Like, and I didn't even realize it till I was touring in Europe. I'm like, oh my God, everything in the United States is like double the price. Like food, activities,
Yeah.
like it's just too expensive and they fucked up because that's like the one thing that the Republicans had is like, well, we keep gas cheap, you know? So like always when Republicans are office, the gas would be like cheap, but now gas is like $6 a gallon because he started the war. So he kind of lost his like one thing that the like common person that who doesn't think about anything besides gas prices, like
I heard that there are more and more American people coming for ski trips to Switzerland because it's cheaper to ski in Switzerland than in Colorado.
dude, I'll tell you, like, I've been going my whole life. I'm 40 years old, and this is the worst snow season I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, my dad just hurt himself skiing because he was chasing the 2 inches of snow.
That we got late in the season.
And yeah, he twisted all of his body.
Well, they do this stupid fucking thing too, where like Vail Resorts, which started here, they've been buying all these ski resorts or combining with them and selling passes where you could go now all over the world. But like, if you want to go for it, like I don't go that much. I go like 4 times a year. If you want to go, it's like now it's like $200 for a day pass. But if you buy a season pass, it's like $1,000. They have like a 4-pack like for like $350 or
How
whatever.
many times did my dad say he went this
Her
year?
dad is crazy. He goes like 70 times and stuff like that. So he buys those passes. If you
Jeez.
buy, they're trying to get the money ahead of time because they're, you know, that's the fucking big money, long money way, right? Get it all as soon as you can, right?
Yeah,
But
a
it's
lot of
fucking
our
it up.
resorts had to close early this year because we got so little snow.
They open so late too. But yeah, it's just
It
like,
was bad.
it's just, it, capitalism is eating itself alive here right now.
So, like, that's what it does. It rises and it crashes. Rises and it
It's very
crashes.
bizarre to expect unlimited growth in a limited space with limited resources. It's just not possible. And I heard that one of the reasons why all the billionaires are investing in space travel is they are hoping to sustain this unlimited growth by tapping into extraterrestrial resources.
Yeah.
So the resources are no longer limited.
That sounds so, super affordable, right? Yeah, like getting your resources from another planet. Come on.
I really love living here, and there's enough space and resources for everyone, really. It's just the distribution that's the problem. Some people are just trying to suck up more and more and more resources.
We have everything that we need for everyone. They're just gonna continue to find ways to say that, like, these people have it and these people don't. And, like, it's very clear that, yeah, there's enough for everyone. Like, everything we need is here.
Well, these super rich people, they are sucking up the material resources, but everything that makes life worthwhile are immaterial resources. Art and culture and music, those are all immaterial resources, and they are not creating any of that. They're just hoovering it all up, but they're not actually creating anything.
So true. That's where they're fucking up too. It's gonna bite them in the ass.
Well, eventually it must be incredibly boring. If you have everything, or if you can just consume anything you want at any time, everything just loses value. It just doesn't mean anything anymore.
I mean, they're miserable people. Like, they really are, but they have it all.
Fun times in the world, huh?
Very well.
Well, we gotta bounce. We gotta start rehearsing.
Cool, bud. Thanks for everything.
Hey, hope to see you soon, and thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Du hast einen Podcast von Rabe gehört, im Sender von Bern. Mehr gibt's auf rabe.ch.